Okay, let's just get this rolling before I fucking die. You kind of know throughout the podcast you're going to hear me groaning in pain every once in a while, and you're going to say, great one. Did you injure yourself again? And the answer is yes. And you're going to say, great one, are you fucking retarded? And the answer is yes. Oh, ow. So yeah, pulled the back a little bit this morning. Well, actually, I pulled the back yesterday morning. I got up this morning. I thought, oh, it feels fine. Everything's great. So, did a set of squats. Did a set of, bicep curls. And did another set of squats. Did another set of bicep curls. Went to do the third set of squats, and my lower back said, the fuck do you think you're doing? You put that fucking barbell down right now. And I said, okay, I'm going to put the barbell down because you insist. Yeah, my lower back said, remember when you were young and you didn't do any fucking weightlifting and you sat on the couch eating Doritos? I said, yeah, I remember that. And my lower back said, you're going to fucking pay for that today, you fucking worthless little shit. So anyhow, there we are. Oh, hey, there's my millions and millions of fans cheering for me. What's up, millions? How's it going? Yeah, The Rock says this. I am the great one. Founder of Cynical Libertarian Society said that, blah, blah. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile my intellect comes in and destroys the motherfucking status. All around the world, I do have a shot glass of Plymouth Gin, the official drink of the Cynical Libertarian Society. They don't pay me for this advertising, but they should. Oh, man. Today is February 24th in the year of our Lord, the Trumpenfuhrer, 2017, here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. 3 days ago, it was 70 degrees. Today, it's snowing outside because global warming. All right. I got a bunch of notes here. I got all sorts of shit here. We're gonna see how much I get through. Oh yeah, in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. I am still the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. We're on the internet, cynlibsoc.com. Send us email at god, dog spelled backwards, god at cynlibsoc.com. And of course, I'm on the Twitterverse, at least for now, until I finally get banned over at CYNLIBSOC on the Twitterverse. And I'm over on the YouTube. I haven't published anything lately, but, you know, the YouTube is always behind. The YouTube is there. Don't care about the YouTube, because one day I'm going to get banned on the YouTube also. The internet is still not the answer. I'm not finished talking about that, so I got to finish talking about internet is not the answer. I got to finish talking about invading Encapadice and then how that leads into seasteading and other stuff. And all these things are coming. Meanwhile, till then, number one, all of you people out there, you need to fucking learn to use military time, okay? Tired of this fucking AM, PM shit. People can't get it right. People get confused. Why? Why? Why does AM and PM even exist? Everybody should be using military time. Fucking, I know it's hard because it's 24 hours. I can't figure it out. Like, what time is 1700? I'm not smart enough to subtract 12 and translate it in my brain or anything. I'm just not that smart because I have a liberal arts degree. Military time, people. Learn to use it. Stop using fucking AM and PM. In the past, I've talked about the free game you can get. It's free. It's like Bernie Sanders' college education and Obamacare. It's free. You can... I've talked about this game you can get on the interwebs. It's called Zero AD. And it is a clone of the Age of Empires series, which, as I've said before, is one of my favorite computer games ever. Not that I've had a lot of time to play computer games lately, because I sure as fuck haven't. I was just sitting today. I was just today thinking about, man, I'd really love to just sit down and play a computer game for a while. But I've been working my ass off this week. And that's not gonna. Ooh, oh, that's not gonna stop. Yes, the grunting and groaning of the injuries. Another little sip of gin will probably help that. I mean, it can't hurt, right? If you're injured and you drink gin, it can't possibly make things worse, can it? Unless, of course, you drink enough that you don't feel the pain anymore, and then you do something really stupid and injure yourself even worse. So actually, maybe I should stop drinking any moment, because I do stupid things often enough when I'm sober. Probably the last thing I knew I'd need to do is to get drunk. Zero AD. You can find it on the interwebs. It's free. It's still in alpha mode. It's not even final yet. But the important part here is I recently discovered that it is available for Linux. And if you use Linux, you can run Zero AD in Linux. I use Gentoo Linux and Sabian Linux are my two distros of preference. And it is available in the package manager of both of those. So if you're a Linux user and you want to play a great computer game, which is still in alpha mode and not completely finished, and yet still stunningly well written and good, Zero AD. All right, speaking of things that are good, I am right now watching the movie Doom. Yes, based on the video game. As I got it from the Netflix, which hates white people because they did their little dear white people. They're doing their little dear white people thing. Fucking morons. Oh my god, I saw, I think it was on Age of Shitlords. Somebody has written a plugin for the Chrome web browser that when you go to, I think it's BuzzFeed and Salon and some other websites like Huffington Post, I think was one of them. When you go to those, it changes, it substitutes. And this is why the internet is not the answer. The extension substitutes the word black for white and white for black. So a headline that says, you know, things white people need to do to be more racially sensitive would be transformed in your web browser to things black people need to do to be more racially sensitive. And this is one more reason why the internet is not the answer. This is how easily information on the internet can be changed. And some people, I mean, you could, here's like my little wet dream, one of my wet dreams. I have lots of wet dreams. Most of them involve volleyball girls, but some of them don't. To find some left-wing statist who uses Chrome and get a hold of their computer when they're not looking and install that plugin and just to, and then to just to see their reaction when they go to a website where they're going there looking for racism against white people, and what they see is racism against black people. And this is why the internet is not the answer. People think, well, you can go to the internet and get this truthful information or whatever. It's not just a matter of information has to be on the website and it has to be accurate and all these other things that mean the internet is not, you know, this whole, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Not only is there the fact that people can put things on the internet that aren't true, not only is there the fact that, you know, with ebooks and stuff like that, Amazon.com can change the content of a book on your Kindle anytime they want to. Not only is there Photoshop, which makes any image just automatically, you know, however much you'd love to believe it, you can never be sure. Like I talked about with the guy holding up the sign that said, "Rape Milena." I mean, is it real or is it Photoshop? I mean, sure, I'd love for that to be true. I would love for a liberal to do that and embarrass the left-wing side of the spectrum by advocating rape. But you don't know if it's true or not. You can't. And on top of all that, here we see that you can do something as simple as install a plugin on somebody's browser that will change the words that they read on the internet. And for the average stupid person who is using Chrome, because Chrome is a virus. I mean, it is. Chrome and Yahoo, they are viruses. If you have installed software off the internet, like one of the things I use is a little program called CD Burner XP, and it just burns DVDs and CDs. It's a nice little program. But when you get it and you first install it and you're doing the package, it has that little thing that it pops up and it'll either try to, it'll tell you, install Yahoo Toolbar and make Yahoo your home page, you know, and you have to actively reject that in order to not install Yahoo Toolbar. Or it'll come up and say, install Google Chrome, the greatest web browser ever in history. You know, and you have to actively reject installing Google Chrome. Okay. That's the activity of a virus. When I, on my computer, I have to actively do things to prevent software I don't want installed on my computer from installing on my computer. No, that is the definition of a computer virus. That is a definition of a computer virus. I go in Windows periodically and I have to go into the program files folder and find there's the Google with Google Update and everything. I have no Google software installed. Yet somehow or another, Google Updater keeps getting on my computer. No matter how many times I delete it, it keeps on coming back. That's a virus. Okay, so Google Chrome is a virus. Google Chrome gets installed on people's computer without them realizing what they're doing, because that's the only way Google can get anybody to use their shitty web browser, except, of course, for the people who think that the world revolves around Google, and there's a lot of those losers out there. I put them in the same category as the fucking morons who can't shut up about how easy it is to use their Mac. Many of the people using Google Chrome would not be smart enough to understand, like if this happened, if suddenly they went to BuzzFeed and it said things black people need to do to be more racially sensitive to whites, they would have no idea that that could be a plugin that's been installed into Google Chrome, because they don't know what plugins are. They are computer illiterate. It's fascinating. We went like this curve where, you know, computers came into existence and nobody knew how to use them, and people started figuring out how to use them, and time goes by and then everybody knew how to use them. And now we're sliding back into this time, and I see this working with and being around the millennials. They don't know how to use computers. I mean, I've told you the story about the girl I were 18 years old. I told her, set up an event on Facebook. She said, I don't know how. And I said, well, Google it and, you know, type it in Google, find out the procedure. She said, I don't know how. And I said, that's why you're going to use Google. And she said, no, I don't know how to use Google. Like, she did not know how to use Google to search for something on Google, right? Then the girl we hired at one of the companies, like, she doesn't know how to use Excel. I'm not talking about, like, advanced fucking fiscal calculator. I'm talking about opening Excel and typing in some stuff and making a chart. I mean, not even a chart, making just a little spreadsheet. She didn't know how to format things in Word. She didn't know how to put attachments on emails correctly. I mean, I don't know how you can do it fucking wrong. It's either attached or it's not. But I mean, the millennials, they're computer illiterate, because everything is done on their cell phone, and everything on the cell phone, because I think it's partially because the interface is so limited, and also because the millennials are just so unintelligent, everything has to be dumbed down. Not just dumbed down, but dumbed down to this degree, like even beyond the dumbing down necessary for people who use Apple computers. I love my Mac. It's so easy to use. Yeah, because Microsoft Windows, while it has many, many flaws, Microsoft Windows is not exactly fucking complicated. Double click on the icon. Holy shit, that really taxed my brain cells. Was I going somewhere with this? Oh yeah. Wait, Randy. Ow. Oh, my back. Oh. Randy, how did I get from Doom to this? Doom. I'm watching the movie Doom. Oh, Doom, Netflix, dear white people, racism, Google Chrome extension that changes black to white and white to black. Yeah. See, I knew there was a reason that was happening. It's like everything. There's a reason. We just don't know what the fuck it is. Another sip of gin will probably help. Oh. God damn it. Not you guys. Something's falling, and I keep picking it up, and it keeps falling. Where am I going to put this? I'm just cranky right now. I'm so fucking cranky. Oh, wait. How's that different from normal? God damn it. Don't you dare fall off of that fucking desk. I will. God damn it. All right. Go get another beer for a minute, okay? I got to do something here. Oh yeah, I'm back. Doom! My God, it's already 2:00. I gotta be at work soon. Doom, the movie. With The Rock. So I got that from the racist Netflix organization. Which hates white people but doesn't mind taking their money. I had low expectations. It's a movie based on a video game. And I haven't finished watching it yet, but I don't know. I'm 2/3 through. Hey, Randy, is 2/3 the same thing as 3/4? I'm not good at math. I'm an English major. Ow. I'm about 2/3 through the movie, give or take something. You know, for a movie based on a video game, it's not that bad. It's not great art. I'm not recommending you go out and get this movie. It's not Casablanca or anything like that. Just saying, if it appears on your radar and you have 2 hours that you want to spend just being entertained, it's not terrible. I went in with low expectations, but it's not terrible. You know, The Rock is The Rock. And the other thing that helps is it's got the hot babe in it. One of the hot babes. I don't know the actress's name. And I kept looking. I'm trying to figure out, okay, where do I know this actress from? Because I've seen her in some other movie. And she's hot like a motherfucker. And then I finally figured it out. It's the same actress who plays Miranda Frost in whichever James Bond movie it is that Miranda Frost is in. I'm pretty sure it's one of the Pierce Brosnan movies. Anyhow. Like, she was probably the, in my opinion, hottest Bond girl ever. She's in the top three. Because a while back, I did my James Bond marathon. This was, I mean, like at least a year. Did the James Bond marathon, and I watched all the James Bond movies. And I talked about it on the podcast, and I was going through, checking out all the Bond girls. And most of them were not really, in my opinion, because it's subjective. You know, well, girl-chick hotness is objective and subjective at the same time. There are objective elements, you know, not being fat, not having short hair. And then there are subjective elements, you know, blonde, brunette, redhead, you know, big nose, small nose, big tits, little tits, all that other stuff. And you talk about women like they're objects. Well, they are. As long as I have to keep paying for them all the fucking time via taxation, via theft, they are objects. So anyhow, the Miranda Frost actress, whose real name I don't know, is in the movie, and she still looks pretty hot. So that makes it enjoyable. And of course, in the movie, there is, because we have to say something that's going to piss people off. Once again, we see it in the movie, the black man macking on the white woman. Have you noticed how much more and more and more? Sorry, I know I'm racist and all this other shit. I'm simply reporting what I see on the television, in the fucking advertising, the print advertising, in the fucking TV commercials. Do you notice how this keeps building and appearing, the black man and the white woman. And I'm still not sure. I'm still not certain. Who are they trying to breed out of existence? Are they trying to breed white people out of existence? Or is it the black people they're trying to breed out of existence? Somebody somewhere, I read a blog post on one of the sites I follow, put forth a theory that it's all of the races, that the left, the left-wing statist, social justice warrior, elitist types, they're not actually racist specifically against white people. They are racist against all races. They want to eliminate the different races and create this just sort of single mixed race. And I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to discount that right out of hand. I mean, that I think that concept has some merit to it. But I just want to say one more thing to make sure everybody's thoroughly offended. So I want to remind you of this. Black women, what's it like to be so fucking ugly and sexually undesirable that black men don't even want to have sex with you? They want white women instead. Yeah, but you're all strong and independent and sassy, though, aren't you? I'm a sassy black woman. Yeah, well, if you're so fucking sassy, why are all the black men trying to bang white chicks? And why is black men banging white chicks shoved down my throat by the media, by advertising, by the internet? It's everywhere. It's all over the fucking place. And if you start looking, it's like anything. If you start looking for it, you see it more. But it's all over the fucking place. I mean, that's almost a required component of a movie nowadays, is to have a black man and a white woman. Either the black man is chasing the white woman, or the white woman is chasing the black man, you know, or they are a couple or whatever. But it's like the black man-white woman dynamic is almost, it's virtually a requirement for any movie or television series that's made nowadays. I mean, it has to be there. Right? This is like having the homosexual character. It has to be there because this is required to prove that you hate white people. Just as I don't know. I really don't know why it's required to be there, but it's apparently required to be there. Theater stories, because we have theater stories. So I'm at the theater, one of the theaters the other day, and we're helping them load in a dance show. So there's these dancers running around, and they've got a pole on the stage where they do their pole dancing, right? And I'm up in the air above the stage working on a light. So I'm looking down on the stage. The pole is down under me, and there's this girl dancing on the pole, and not all dancers have hot bodies, trust me on this. But this girl, body, face, everything. I mean, the lowest any man could possibly give her is an 8. In my scale, she's like a solid 9. Down underneath me, wearing a sports bra and these little, like, not bikini, but close to bikini briefs. That's it. She's on the pole, doing her pole dancing, upside down with her legs spread completely apart like she's doing a split. So her crotch is like coming right up towards me, and I'm looking down straight into this girl's crotch. And meanwhile, on the ground is another of the theater people, a girl with whom I've worked for many, many years, and she knows me very well, and I know her very well, and we know each other very well. And we have a very good nonverbal communication with each other. And I'm looking down at this girl's crotch. And the theater tech, we'll call her Alice. Alice is looking up at me, and I look over at Alice, and Alice looks at me, and I look at Alice. And then I look back at the dancer's crotch, because Alice knows exactly what I'm looking at, and she's just kind of rolling her eyes. Maybe you had to be there. I mean, in fact, you should have been there because you would have enjoyed it. But anyhow, it was humorous. We also had another show come through, which just goes to show you not everybody is a professional. In theater, there are certain things you're supposed to do. So in the theater, you go to theater, you're sitting there in the house and you're looking at the stage, right? So there's that big opening in the wall where the stage is on the other side. That opening is called the proscenium. And in theater, that proscenium opening, that is referred to as the fourth wall. And just like if you're watching television or a movie, whatever, or if you go to a live stage production, right? So you see the actors interacting with each other and all this other stuff, but they don't make contact and communicate directly with the audience. Typically, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ferris Bueller does that in the movie. He, you know, looks into the camera and he's talking to the people watching the movie. So when that happens, that's called breaking the fourth wall. Because that proscenium opened, there's like this wall between the audience and the actors. And the actors pretend there's a wall there. They ignore the existence of the audience. That's called the fourth wall. And you don't break the fourth wall unless it's done intentionally for a reason. Part of not breaking the fourth wall is that when you open the house and the people are coming in to watch the play and they're sitting down and there's a stage and sometimes the curtain is closed, sometimes the curtain is open and people can see the set, whatever. You don't break the fourth wall by walking from the stage out into the audience. And we had a show come through where their tech guy, while the people were in the house, while the audience was in the house waiting for the show to start, actually walks out on the stage, walks through the fourth wall and down and into the house. I'm thinking, holy shit, you are in theater and you just, that, and you're all sitting there, you're going to yourselves, what the fuck is he talking about and why is this a big deal? And I understand that, because if you're not a theater person, you're hearing all of this and it makes no sense to you and you're like, why the fuck is this a big deal? Is this guy a loser or what? It's a big fucking deal, man. It's like if you're a fireman and you show up to fight a fire in your pajamas. It's just like, do you have any fucking sense at all? Rule number one, you show up to fight a fire, you're wearing your fucking fire suit, not your PJs. I mean, come on. But then this guy also comes to us and he says, yeah, I don't have a copy. Oh, so also, all right, no. So he comes to us and says, I don't have a copy of the script for our show. Can you print one for me? It's like, wait, hold it. You're running the show and you don't have a copy of the script of the show you're running and you want us to print one for you. And we're kind of looking at each other and he goes away and the text looks at me and says, I've never in my life had somebody show up and ask me for a copy of the script to their show. I'm like, holy shit. And then, of course, he played all the music for the show off of his fucking computer, but his computer was broken because he couldn't log into it because it got virus infected. And so he had to find an iPod and get his music on the, I'm just like, dude, Jesus Christ. A mess. All right. And what do I have another one? Oh, final theater story. So if you're following my theater exploits, you know one of the theaters I work with recently hired a woman, who has no theater experience, and they hired her to be one of the supervisor people. So we all laughed about that and rolled our eyes and just deal with it, because she's completely fucking useless. Is this a floaty in my gin? Well, at least it's sterilized. So the people who run the theater, recently hired another theater person, recently hired another management person who is not a theater person, who's done music concerts, but not done theater. So we're all looking at each other going, oh, great. There's my phone going off in the other room. We're going, oh, great. So I walk in and there's a couple of their techs standing around and I walk into the room and the affirmative action woman who knows nothing about theater and the new hire who is a guy are standing there and affirmative action girl is trying to explain some stuff to the new guy And the rest of us, we all kind of look at each other, and we look at them, and we look at each other, and we look at them, and we look at each other, and we look at them. And we walk out, and we go into the other room. And Alice looks at me, and she says, "The untrained is training the untrained." And I looked at her, and I said nothing in response, because there was really nothing I could say to that. It was blindingly accurate. All right, anyway, that's that. Theater story's done. Let us move on. Oh, stop it. Not you. Somebody else. Okay. Go away. Not you. Somebody else. All right, let's offend some people. Milo Yiannopoulos. Apparently something happened. I haven't spent 34 hours on the internet attempting to figure out what happened with Milo Yiannopoulos because I don't care that much. Do I think Milo is entertaining? Yeah, I've said nice things about him in the past. I think it's hilarious the way he triggered left-wing statist. But he's still a right-wing statist. And he has all the problems, of course, that come with being a right-wing statist. Everything I know about Milo Yiannopoulos, I learned from watching Star Trek. Oh, no, wait, that's everything I learned about life. I learned from watching Star Trek. Everything I know about Milo Yiannopoulos and his crucifixion / fall from grace, I learned from listening to Stefan... God damn it, I can't fucking talk today. It's the exhaustion. It's the sleep deprivation. I don't think I've been in bed before 2 a.m. for the last 4 or 5 days. It all blurs together. Everything I know about Milo's fall from grace, I learned from listening to Stefan Molyneux's podcast on the topic. Now, as near as I can tell, what Milo did that has everybody in a tizzy is that he said he went to some parties where young children were doing drugs and having sex with older men. Okay. Where do I start with this? According to Stefan Molyneux, Milo said, and this is more or less a quote, this is the way he put it, he was at parties where young boys were doing drugs and having sex with older men. Now, Stefan pointed out correctly, in my opinion, that when you translate this into English, what the phrase young boys were doing drugs and having sex with older men actually means is that young boys were being drugged by older men and subsequently raped. Because young boys, see the way, when Milo states he was at a party where young boys were doing drugs and having sex with older men, this makes it sound as if the young boys were making informed decisions to do the drugs and have sex with the older men. Now, I don't know how young these boys were because I wasn't there. But because everybody is calling Milo a pedophile, and because that, and of course, and apparently Milo pointed this out, and Stefan Molyneux said, well, that doesn't really make a difference. It kind of does, and it kind of doesn't. Pedophilia is actually sexual attraction to people who are not sexually developed, right? So if you have a normal, healthy 16-year-old, boy or girl, most 16-year-olds are sexually developed, and thus wanting to fuck a 16-year-old, technically speaking, is not pedophilia. I'm not saying this as a fucking justification. I'm saying this because I'm defining words accurately. And Milo attempted to, well, I'm going to define words accurately and say, you know, it's not pedophilia when you're fucking a 16-year-old. He didn't say it in that way. I'm greatly generalizing here. Just fucking deal with it. I'm sure all of you out there who have less shit to do than I do probably know more about the Milo thing than I do. That's why I'm not going to speak on specifics. I'm speaking on general shit because I really don't have time to delve into the exact fucking details of why Milo is being crucified, because we all know exactly why Milo is getting crucified. I'll talk about this more in a minute. Milo is getting crucified because he's a Trump supporter. If Milo was everything Milo is, but he had supported Hillary Clinton, there would not be people running around accusing Milo of pedophilia. You know this is true. I know this is true. Everybody on the left knows this is true. Everybody on the right knows this is true. Okay? This has nothing to do with, is he a pedophile? Is he not a pedophile? Does he support pedophilia? Does he not support pedophilia? None of that matters. Here is a fucking fact. Fact. This is a fact. I'm about to say unto you a fact. If Milo had actively supported Hillary Clinton, you could release a video of Milo ass-fucking 7 6-year-old boys with a Coke bottle, and he would be praised for being brave and courageous. You know this is true. I know this is true. The only reason the mainstream media is attacking Milo is because he supported Trump. Not because he's a pedophile, not because he might be a pedophile, not because he supports pedophilia. No other reason. The left-wing statist, if a Hillary Clinton supporter, if George Clooney did exactly what Milo did, he would be praised for being brave and courageous. Okay. So Milo pointed out, apparently, I haven't watched Milo. Just like I said, this is all secondhand information from Stefan Molyneux. Milo attempted to point out what the word pedophilia really means. Stefan Molyneux pointed out that nobody really cares. They're both a little bit right. It does have a fucking meaning. You should know what the fuck it means. But ultimately, no, nobody gives a shit. Because, of course, that's what philosophy is. Philosophy is understanding the meaning of the words you use, using the correct words for things, calling things what they are. And of course, this is beyond the capacity of the 99%. That's why they are the 99%. So Milo was apparently at parties where, as he put it, young boys were choosing to do drugs and choosing to have sex with older men, or as Stefan Molyneux put it, young boys were being drugged and raped by older men. Now, Milo also apparently has admitted, and this is not new, this has apparently been around for a while. Again, I don't know this because I don't keep up with Milo's personal life. You know, I watch Milo call feminist cancer and piss off feminists and watch them storm out of the auditorium, and I laugh, and it's funny. Milo was apparently sexually abused as a child. Oh, gee, there's a shock. Okay, so get ready to get offended. A while back, I talked about a video I found on the interweb where a guy who was obviously who was admittedly this like very Christian, anti-homosexual guy, but he went to a gay bar with his little hidden camera and talked to homosexuals, and he pretended to be a homosexual, and he got them to tell their stories and all this other stuff and recorded it. And yes, as I pointed out then, the entire video could be fake. These could have been friends of his, and it could all be acting. It could all be fake. In the era of fake news, this brings us back to why I see things and I comment, but I can't anymore bring myself to believe anything I see on the internet is truly 100% true. You can't, because anything can be faked nowadays. This is why philosophy, reasoning, is the ultimate answer, right? It's like, well, the guy came in and he shot a bunch of people. We need gun control. How do you know he really even shot these people? How do you know this really? Well, it was on TV. Oh, shit, it was on TV. It must be true. Anyhow, I pointed out, yes, homosexuals, for the most part, now there's probably a few people out there who they're born, genetically speaking, there's something in them that makes them attracted to the same sex, okay? 95% of homosexuals are not born that way. Homosexuals, for the most part, come from abused children. When you talk to homosexuals, all of them tell you the stories about how they were abused as children. Whether it's sexual abuse or some other kind of abuse, they're all abused children. I know you don't want to hear this. This is where the majority of homosexuals come from. Abused children. I'm not going to say homosexuality is a disease, but I am going to say homosexuality is a behavioral choice that comes about, or maybe not always a choice. It's a behavioral response, which comes about because of trauma and abuse experienced as children. You say, no, great one. You hate homosexuals. Well, that's great. Bring me some homosexuals that weren't abused as children. You can prove me wrong. How is it that every fucking homosexual out there, when you dig deep enough, you get to the stories about how they were sexually abused as children? So no, homosexuality, in most cases, is not, get ready, trigger warning, is not normal. Homosexuality is a response to being sexually abused as a child. Milo said, apparently, I didn't watch the news conference, it's on the internet. It may or may not be true. It might be fake news. I don't know. Apparently, according to Stefan Molyneux's video, Milo said, quote, "I still don't view myself as a victim, but I am one," unquote. Once again, there is no difference between the left-wing statist and the right-wing statist when it comes down to it. "I still don't view myself as a victim, but I am one," is another way of saying, "I am a victim," which is another way of saying, "I'm playing the victim card," which is another way of saying, despite me prancing around and talking about hating feminism and supporting Donald Trump and calling Donald Trump daddy and pimping for the Republicans, despite all of that, I'm still a gay man who sucks black cock and plays the victim card when it benefits me. All statist seek victimhood, and that includes the right-wing statist. Looking through the email today, I see my subscription notifications coming in from the YouTube. And Milo is in spin control now, and he put up a video, and the title of it is "Attendees at CPAC Don't Think Milo Supports Pedophilia," or something like that. I don't know what CPAC is. I didn't watch the video. I don't care. The title tells me what I need to know, is that people at CPAC, whatever that is, in this video, the cherry-picked responses in the video, because that's how this works, are saying Milo doesn't support pedophilia. That is not correct. All homosexuals support pedophilia. Let me say that again, because I know you are being triggered right now. All homosexuals support pedophilia. Homosexuals do not reproduce sexually. Okay? Two homosexual men, like when Milo sucks a black guy's cock, he can't get a baby from that. Two homosexuals can't come together and mate and make more homosexuals. But homosexuals are like everyone else. They want people to have sex with, right? I mean, I like volleyball girls. So I want more volleyball girls because I want more people that I would desire to have sex with. This is not evil. This is biology. Now, homosexuals want more people to be homosexuals because homosexuals want more opportunities to have sex. This is not evil. This is completely normal and understandable. People want to have sex. They want to have sex with the sort of people they want to have sex with. Therefore, it makes perfect sense that everybody wants there to be more people who fall into the category of people they'd like to have sex with, right? For example, in my world, all women should look like the actress who plays Miranda Frost in the James Bond movie, and they should all be volleyball girls. That's what I would love to see happen. So I'm going to always encourage chicks to be hot, blonde, have long hair, and play volleyball. Homosexuals, and I can make more people like that, right? I can fuck a woman, and a baby can come out, the baby can be a girl, she can have blonde hair, and she can grow her hair out long, and she can play volleyball, and she can be hot. Okay, I can make, we heterosexuals can make more people that we would like to fuck. We can reproduce. Homosexuals cannot make more people they would like to fuck. Homosexuals cannot reproduce, male or female homosexuals. They cannot reproduce with other homosexuals. But they want the pool of homosexuals to be larger so that there's more people they can fuck. Still not rocket science. Still not evil. Pure biology. Fact. Fact. This is fact. You bring me someone who says to me, great one, I want there to be fewer people on the planet Earth that I'm sexually attracted to. You bring me that person. I don't want to read about it on the internet where it's faked. I don't want to see a fucking YouTube video where it's an actor. You bring me a person. We're going to hook them to a fucking lie detector test, which can be fooled and doesn't matter ultimately in the long run. I want them to look me in the eye and say unto me, great one, I want there to be fewer people on the planet Earth I'm sexually attracted to. You find that person and bring them to me. I'm not going to hold my breath. Homosexuals cannot create more homosexuals by having sex. Where do homosexuals come from? How are homosexuals created? Well, they are created, they come from sexually abused children. Homosexuals want more homosexuals in the population so they have more people they can have sex with. Homosexuals, 95% of homosexuals are a direct result of children being sexually abused when they're young. Homosexuals want more homosexuals. To get more homosexuals, you have to sexually abuse children when they are young. That's called pedophilia. Yes, all homosexuals support pedophilia. Yes, they do. This is why the left was working so hard to normalize pedophilia. Once again, I saw it on the internet. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't believe anything I see on the internet anymore. I don't. So I think it was Salon had that article. You've heard of it before. Everybody that listens to me has probably heard of this. The title was something along the lines of, I am a pedophile, but I'm not a monster. Apparently, if you can believe what's on the internet, which I don't, Salon has taken that article down. Because see, suddenly, for a brief amount of time, and I say brief because humans have a very short memory, for a brief amount of time, being a pedophile is not cool the way it was when left-wing statists were talking about how wonderful pedophilia is. Milo has, for probably about 6 months to a year, made it not acceptable to be a pedophile. Milo will pass, and the left will again start pushing pedophilia. Because you want children to be sexually abused when they're young, not just because it makes them homosexual and it manifests your hatred for heterosexuals, but it also, by making them victims, it puts them more under the control of the government. They need the fucking counseling, and they get, you know, fucking welfare benefits, and they get special treatment and all this other stuff. Again, the state needs victims. So the state, the state is in favor of pedophilia. Pedophilia creates victims. The state needs victims to survive. Homosexuals are in favor of pedophilia. Pedophilia is where more homosexuals come from. And this made me start thinking, so Milo's at this party, and there's all these people there giving drugs to these small children and fucking them. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. Let's pretend it did. Why is Milo not naming names? Here's the thing I can tell you. If this was true, I promise you, most of the people at this party were liberal Democrats. And here is when I had one of those little aha revelation moments. A lot of rich, powerful people are liberal Democrats. But why? I mean, obviously they like capitalism. They're rich. They're not giving their money to poor people. They don't care about Muslims. They're not opposing. They didn't oppose it when Obama killed Muslims with missiles launched from flying robots. The reason they are liberals, the reason they are left-wing, the reason they are Hillary Clinton supporters is because this is their inoculation. If a Hillary Clinton supporter, like when, what's her name, Lena Dunham or whatever, talked in her book about raping her little sister, nobody gave a shit because that woman, she's a fat, she's a feminist, she's a liberal. Being a liberal Democrat, that's your vaccine. That's your inoculation. If you get caught having sex with 8-year-old boys, but you supported Hillary Clinton, you get a free pass. I don't think most of these people are really liberal Democrats. They're just liberal Democrats so they can get away with things that non-liberal Democrats can't get away with. And Milo is learning how this works firsthand. If he'd have been a Hillary Clinton supporter, the left, the mainstream media, would be defending him to the hilt.